Hello and welcome to the Everyday Adventure Podcast. My name is Nikki Bass and I will be bringing you thoughts and ideas and hopefully some inspiration on how to build more adventure into your everyday life.
Hi, it's Nikki here. Welcome to the Everyday Adventure Podcast and to this bonus episode of the show, which I'm delighted to bring you. Before I dive in and welcome this week's guest, I just wanted to make a quick apology about the audio quality on this week's episode. It's not quite up to the standard I would have liked to bring you. But having said that, hopefully the quality of the content and the conversation will mean that it's absolutely worth listening to. Otherwise, we'll get started and I really hope you enjoy it. So today it is a real pleasure to welcome Carl Orme to the show. Carl is an army veteran, he's a runner, and he's also best known on Instagram as Fighting the Dad Bod, which I just think is the most brilliant name out there. And on Instagram, he regularly holds interviews with some really high profile running guests, which are really fantastic. So that is where I first came across Carl. It was when he was conducting a challenge last year, which was 10 marathons in 10 days across 10 counties, raising money for breast cancer. And I sort of followed his progress over those 10 days. And I was sort of immediately struck by not only the immensity of the sort of the challenge that he had taken on, but also really by his willingness to show the sort of the harder side of taking on challenges, to be vulnerable, to be honest about actually how really difficult and tough it can be at times. And that's a thread I've seen throughout his posts ever since. So I really wanted to speak to him for the podcast just to pick up on that and his way of connecting with the audience in that way, but also really to speak to him about the challenges he's doing, because I know he's taken on further challenges for 21 and find out really what motivates him to do these sort of really tough challenges, and also the running and the interview. So Carl, welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Nikki. I mean, Christ, with that introduction, I feel I really have to step up to the plate now for the remainder.
That's right. No expectation. It's fine.
You could have just said hi at the start. This is Carl. That would have taken the pressure off a bit.
Yeah. Though I could have let you introduce yourself, but you know, where's the fun in that? So I like to set a high bar for you. I guess my very first question really has got to be around what, I mean, have you always been a runner? Is it something you've always done? Was it something that you've come to a bit later in life? Where is the sort of the inspiration, I guess, behind the account in the first way come from?
I suppose the running bit to start, and that kind of ties nicely in with the account. I certainly haven't always been a runner in the truest sense. I've done running as part of other fitness. So sort of growing up, I might have played football, done other sports, and I was served in the military. There is running as an element, part of it as well. But in terms of proper running, it really stemmed from this must have been early part of 2019. I'd been made redundant from a new job I had, and I was really struggling with mental health and my own identity as well, to be honest. Put on a bit of weight because I'd injured my knee in Afghanistan in the army and I had surgery. Things weren't great. And I just kind of sat there. I thought, well, this is one of two ways I can deal with this. I can either continue feeling sorry for myself and not really taking any action, or try and do something about it. So I had an honest conversation with some friends. And what I also did was signed up to do a marathon. And I signed up for the New Forest Marathon, September 19, with the idea being it far away, but it was realistic. Still, a marathon's an epic challenge to try and do. Got an Instagram account about 6 months before that and followed by three people and posted once. And it was only when I was kind of looking at it, I thought, well, this could be an opportunity actually to give me that accountability as well. So hence the name, the Fight in the Dad Bods. And I confess it's a fight that I win and lose in equal measure, I think, more often. But it was also, it's kind of, I thought, well, if I say what I'm doing, what I'm doing, I almost felt an obligation to do it. But since then, as you identified at the start, it's grown into so much more than that. I'm really pleased with how it's gone.
Amazing. And so I guess, where did the sort of the interviews come out of that then? How did you get started on that? Because that's something, I mean, I haven't, it still seems to be a relatively new thing. There's not that many people out there that are doing them. And it's a really interesting way, I think, of it, of engaging with different people, I suppose, you might not normally get to come to speak to. So what was behind that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an absolutely fantastic opportunity, and I've been truly spoiled by the caliber of some of the guests. But the inspiration behind it was, I'd been approached by several people or groups with respect to doing radio interviews, podcast interviews, and each one I actually declined. And after I'd done that a number of times, I'd had people approach me and said, oh, how comes we don't hear you on the podcast? And I'd explained each time. It wasn't really my thing. I didn't like talking about me. But I'd had quite a few people actually saying, well, I disagree. I like the fact that you're not super fit, you haven't got so much going on in your life, you're still making time for it, giving it a go. To my, I suppose, antics, want a better expression in ping, two ladies went and got themselves checked within the period of 4 months of each other, both diagnosed with breast cancer. One went through the entire treatment process, surgery, radiotherapy, and has come out the back of it all clear. The other is currently going through it, but the prognosis is looking really good as well. If I wanted any other motivation for what I was doing, that was it. So the interviews themselves came because, as much as I wasn't a fan of talking about me, I really did like sharing positive stories, sharing examples of feats of physical endurance or people that battle gender inequality, prejudice in sport, whatever it was. And they've kind of just, I suppose, organically grown from there. And as I said, Jamie Bolsh, Becky Adlington, I've had last week, we've obviously Tom Bosworth, I've had Dean Macy. I mean, probably like Sharon Davies, Karen Pickering, 30 or 40 guests now, many of whom have been either former Olympians or in instance like Suzanne Chua, who's now become a good friend, that spoken about her journey from mental health. It's been really a platform in which to share some important views, get people talking, but also expose them to maybe a slightly different audience and expose the handful of followers I have to people that maybe they wouldn't have seen. And it's kind of, it ends up being a chat for about an hour between the two of us. There's no real pressure, nothing hugely contentious I go through either. It's more just an opportunity to talk about highs and lows of what they've been through and what they can share.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Is it? I think that point about being the person in front of the camera or the microphone or sharing your story rather than sharing someone else's is really interesting. I mean, certainly something that I've, you know, experienced myself when I've gone on other people's podcasts and I've sort of gone, actually, I feel much, much more comfortable being the person asking the questions or being the person in the background highlighting other people's achievements than necessarily talking about my own. So I think that's probably something a lot of people can relate to as well. I think going back to your point as well about your motivation, once you see the difference it starts to make to people, then actually those fears or that concerns over ego or whatever it is that stop us then start to become less important, I suppose. I guess just going back to my point about, so I talked about the start about the challenge you did last year, the sort of the 10 marathons in 10 days. And, you know, and what really struck me was actually, you know, you really were very honest about how you were feeling on those particular, you know, you were documenting everything, which, you know, certainly I still think is pretty unusual, both for men and for women, I would say, that we often find out after the experience how tough it was, but not often along the way. And I just wondered, I mean, obviously there was the immense physical challenge that you faced in doing those, but what have been some of the other challenges that you've experienced? I mean, where were the struggles and what kept you going?
Well, 10 in 10 was back end or almost a culmination of a year's worth of battles, both physically and mentally, in trying to support and work towards the charity fundraising I was doing. It kicked off at the start of the year when this is clearly pre-COVID, and a great aspiration that I signed up to all sorts of marathons. So I generally thought I had it all mapped out. I was going to a number of races because there is a difference between when you're running on your own and you're running with a crowd bearing you on. When they all fell by the wayside, it kind of knocked me for six a bit because I thought, well, what am I going to do? Because I've set out the challenge, I've got a fundraising target, and I don't like letting people down. But I had to get a little bit more creative. So I ended up in April, I did two challenges, both which were just immensely painful. One was climbing the equivalent height of Mount Everest on my stairs. And that was over 4 days I did it. Only the ascents counted, so only the climbing up counted. And that ended up being about 8 hours a day for the 4 days. And then the other one I did was a marathon on my driveway. I wish I lived in this giant mansion in which the driveway was a long, winding, loping thing where I did half a dozen laps of that and all was well. But sadly, that wasn't the case. And it took me 7 hours 20, I think, the final time was for the marathon.
My legs
were in bits. But it was also just the monotony of running, turning, walking, turning, whatever speed I was going at. they were some real physical challenges. But actually, without realizing it, they were kind of setting the conditions to help me with 10 in 10. Because, as you say, the physical element is massive. And frustratingly, I'd had in June, July time, I'd injured my back. So prior to the 10 in 10, I'd probably done two jogs. And that was it within that period in the October when I actually ran them. My first doubt was, can I even do this? Is this physically possible? But to me, what I looked at is, it doesn't matter about time, whether I do this quickly, slowly, a marathon, still a marathon. I think sometimes people forget when they're aspiring to do a marathon. And sadly, because it's increasingly common for people to do a marathon, then I think people underestimate really what's involved in just doing one.
Yeah, so, totally. Yeah.
I was nervous going into it, and day six is the one most people refer to, where genuinely, it wouldn't have been surprised if, as you looked over my shoulder as I shuffled in, the Grim Reaper was just kind of looking at his watch. It was not in a great place. What it does do is it teaches you what the human body is capable of, and the fact that if you can control and use your mind well enough and kind of push past your own doubts and fears, how much your body can actually do and how much you can give. And for me, that was part of the importance when I was sharing daily, but also each day I kind of shared different bits. So some of the times I was absolutely overwhelmed, and it brought me to tears more than once. The kindness and support of people seeing me, encouraging me, who's engaging in dialogue, asking me why I was doing it. The bit obviously we'd, those who haven't seen my account haven't seen, is I was dressed head to toe in pink with a giant breast that covered just below my chin to just below my waist. It clearly was a bit of a talking point as well. But I just thought, if I can do this and stick with it and raise the money and raise the awareness, then it doesn't matter how hard and how painful it is, I've got an end in sight. And as each day passed and it became more realistic, I'm going to manage and do this, hours every night and hours every morning, ice baths, massage guns, painkiller, just all sorts to try and glue myself back together. I mean, from day five, I was sleeping in compression gear because I was so swollen, I was struggling to get the stuff back on the next day. But it was all for a good cause and all to, I suppose, help raise the awareness, help raise them up, but also for me to see, what can I do as a man, as a human?
That's really interesting. So you've got the sort of the dual purpose in a way of going, right, I'm doing this for a charity purpose, to raise money, to raise awareness, but also there's that sort of internal purpose about yourself and what you're capable of. I think, you know, and I think it's often when we have a sort of a multiple streams in a way that keep us going in these sort of things. I mean, I've done one marathon and that was hard enough. So how you kept going for 10, I literally have no idea. I got to the end of it, I was like, never again. But I think you're absolutely right. And I think it partly depends who you end up sort of following on various social media accounts and that sort of thing too. But there does start to become a perception of, oh, well, you know, it's just a marathon. Anyone can do a marathon. That's easy enough. Oh, 10 marathons, that's just 10 lots of them, without really understanding actually what that means in terms of the sheer wear and tear on your body, but also how when we get tired, physically tired, our emotions are bound to suffer. And, you know, I'm always more teary when I'm tired, it has to be said. So, I mean, I think you touched on it slightly then, but I was just wondering, well, because you set out with obviously these two interlinked purposes around the charity fundraising and also the sort of the purpose in your own life. And I was just thinking about the sort of the benefits that have come as a result of what you've done. There's the obvious outputs in terms of raising the money, and you raised an enormous amount, but also what are the other benefits, and what, I guess, did you least expect that happened that you think, gosh, if I never knew that was going to be an outcome, but I'm so glad it is.
Definitely, as I said, I suppose the realization of not only what I was capable of, but what people are capable of. Especially if you follow professional athletes, ultra runners, etc., none of it really seems real, because some of the distances and times they do, it doesn't seem even remotely achievable for everyday people. But when I'm doing something like 10 in 10, really shows you actually you can do far more than you ever realise. So for me, the mental toughness and mental strength is something I've taken away and will use continuously and have done. And that ties into a little bit from the military discipline, whether it ties up to where your motivation is as well. Because when you're doing it for a charity, that's a different kind of motivation. Because for me, I thought, I don't let these people down. Then you've got that inward motivation as well. I say, well, you can do this. You've been there. You've had these tough times. And you draw upon those experiences. And it kind of gives you that strength or confidence in what's left to be achieved. In terms of the what I've actually, you know, learned or gained from it, to be honest, I was repeatedly overwhelmed by how interested people were in what I was doing, how supportive, how kind, engaging they were. I mean, many people came and visited me, people I knew, to people that follow me on Instagram, to say Susie Shaw came down and ran a bit with me. Sharon Davies came down and said hello to me. She said, I want to come down, give you a shout out, support, say hello and see how you're doing. Carla Molero come down. I'd never even met her before. We've spoken briefly on social media. She obviously had the record for the London Donna Groats. And she came and ran a morning with me. Just the people giving their time to just support, help me, encourage. Still to this day, it surprises me how anyone's interested in what I'm doing, but also anyone's that kind to give either donation or their time, which is such a precious commodity, to trying to help and support.
That's amazing, isn't it? And yeah, I think it's often when I speak to people, I think particularly around fundraising, but also more widely, I think often the answer people come back with is actually the support that they've received and how people have reached out to them and that sort of generosity, which even though we might be people who give that ourselves, is always, I think, always can come as some a surprise and an amazing surprise when we're the recipients of it somehow. I find that really interesting that, you know, it's not expected, but that also, I think particularly at the moment when we're so detached from other people, both physically and in lots of ways emotionally, I think that sort of connection really, I don't know, connects us in some way at a deeper level as well. I slightly hesitate to ask my next question, partly because like when you've done 10 marathons in 10 days, like saying what's next seems a bit mean. But it's like, you can stop that if you want. You can always go on more. But I also know that when people do immense challenges, that their thoughts are either turning as they are doing them to what's next, or they already have something planned. So do you have anything in the pipeline? Is there anything coming up for this year?
So invariably, enough time's now passed since I did a 10 in 10 for me to have forgotten how much it hurts and now come up with some silly ideas. The difference, I suppose, for me is I'm not going to be doing a big single fundraising piece for charity like I did last year with breast cancer. I think I made about £10,200 in the end. Instead, I'm focusing on lots of little areas. So I've got, I'm doing the Edinburgh Marathon for prostate cancer. I'm doing a running challenge with Fiona Oates to raise money for a vegan animal sanctuary. I've got, and I still don't know why I thought this was a good idea, a burpees challenge with Dean Macy. We're going to be doing.
Oh my
doing
God.
Yeah, you know, you don't even know the half of it.
No.
it's not just a small amount.
Yes, yeah.
I'll speak to you offline about it because we can't make it public knowledge yet, the exact details. And then I'm doing the Race to Stones, which is 100K I'm going to try and do in a day. Mike Seaman, the chair of the National Running Show, asked me what I wanted to try and do 100 miles in less than 24 hours, which.
Gosh.
He's attempted it a couple of times, but not quite managed it yet. So I've done zero training for it so far. So I'm using that as my excuse why I've not said yes to him. And then I've kind of got a handful in the pipeline, but some of them are still a little bit secret because the individuals involved. So I'm happy to give you an update in a few months when they're firmed up.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I think you might have just committed yourself to the 100 miles or whatever it is on this show as well.
Never.
It's going out there, so hold you to it. Gosh, that, I mean, just even without that, that's huge. And yeah, I still can't go over the burpees bit, so we will have to chat about that because I could do 10 and then I want to cry. But so for people like me who really hate burpees, or if somebody is listening to this and thinks, you know, I would really like to get started on something of this for my own, whether it is from a personal perspective, as in I would like to reignite something for myself, or whether it's in terms of fundraising or that sort of thing, what would be the one bit of advice you'd give them?
I'd say the key bit is really, and you've kind of alluded to it within the question, establish your why. Because when you're planning it and there's setbacks, when if you eventually get to do it and it's difficult and hard, there's doubters, be it physical, mental, your why is going to be what you're going to have to keep referring back to. So whether it's, as you say, to prove it to yourself, whether it's because you've got to a certain age or fitness level, you want to give it a go for charity, for a loved one, for whatever it is, keep your why focus of everything you do, and that will help you get through it. And often, because you're so passionate about that why, other people pick up on that and they will buy into and support you more because of it.
That's amazing. That's such great advice. And yeah, absolutely ties into, you know, I suppose everything you've talked about, you know, everything in this conversation so far, but also I think really connects to a lot of what previous guests have said around actually that purpose is so important, because in a way it's a really key ingredient of our resilience and what does keep us going when things get really tough. Why am I doing this? Why am I here? So that's amazing. Thank you so much. That's incredible. If people want to find out about more about you or the challenges you've set for yourself this year, or follow you on Instagram and watch your interviews, where can they go?
The best way is probably on Instagram. It's fighting_the_dadbod. You'll be able to see, if you go through my profile, all the examples of dozens of the silliness I've done in terms of challenges. And then for the interviews, if you go on my Instagram TV channel, they're all saved within there as well. And there's some fantastic ones, not because of me, but because of the incredible guests. We've had a couple of exclusives. Some of them shared some really deep emotional challenges as well. And I genuinely feel lucky that I've had this, and hopefully we'll continue to do so as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And we'll pop all of those in the show notes as well, so people can follow the links and find it. Carl, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much again for agreeing to come on the show. And yeah, wish you all the very best with all of your challenges this year. And yeah, I hope you come on a bit later and tell us all about how the burpees challenge went too.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Brilliant. Speak to you soon. Cheers. Bye. So I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Carl. I'm hoping that despite a few crackles, you managed to gain some of the valuable points that he made. One of the points I wanted to pick up on this week was when he was talking about the sort of the scale of adventures, and that actually, for example, with the marathons, that I think sometimes we can almost become desensitized to what people are achieving, even if it is by completing a 5K or a 10K, because I think depending on who we are following on social media, we might be surrounded by adventures that are on a much bigger scale, or because the ones that tend to make the headlines are obviously those that are really different and groundbreaking in some way. But that doesn't reduce or minimize the impact of those smaller adventures, because adventure, going back to, I think, a point I made when I very first started this podcast, was about actually adventure being a mindset. Adventure is about pushing yourself past your own boundaries and your own and your own comfort zone, and stepping outside of that and taking a risk. And that risk might be perceived by others to be relatively small, but it actually, what matters is how you perceive that risk, whether it is large or whether it is difficult and challenging for you, whether it is nibbling, as I like to say, nibbling at the edges of your comfort zone. And I think the point he made about, you know, marathons, and, you know, people go, oh yeah, you've just done a marathon. And having done one marathon myself, as I said, I recognize that's what an intense challenge that, I mean, it was a really huge challenge for me. It is really challenging for a lot of people. Doing a 5K can be challenging. Doing a 1K run when you've never run before, the scale in a way doesn't matter. And I sometimes feel that because of this, we don't take on the smaller challenge. We stop even before that point because we feel, well, you know, in comparison to others, it's not really worth the same. So I suppose it's a bit of reassurance that adventures are, it doesn't matter on the scale, they're equally weighted, because what matters actually is what's going on internally from a psychological perspective. Is it something that's challenging you? Is it something that makes you feel proud, resilient, able to manage more in your life? And that can be physical, it can be psychological, it can be all sorts of things that engender that bring that feeling to us. So yeah, it's a bit of encouragement, really. Go out, do those adventures, do those mini adventures, everyday adventures. This is absolutely what this podcast is about stepping outside of your front door and embracing the adventure that exists right in front of you. I would love to know your thoughts and what you think. So please do reach out and get in touch. I am on Instagram, Resilience at Work. You can contact me via my website, resiliencework.co.uk, or you can join us in the Everyday Adventure Club, which is over on Facebook. So yeah, please do get in touch. So we're now a few weeks away from the start of season three. We're aiming to kick off at the beginning of May. And I am currently in recording with some incredible guests and I cannot wait to bring them to you. So hopefully you'll stick with us and please keep an eye on our social because I'll be making some announcements about when the first episodes of season three are going live and I really don't want you to miss out. In the meantime, I would be so grateful if you are enjoying the show, if you could leave me a review on your favourite platform or if you'd rather send it in person and are happy for me to share it, that would be so wonderful. It just really helps more people access this content, access the podcast and hopefully share in some of the incredible guests that we've had on the show. So anything you do would be absolutely amazing. Otherwise, I will be back again in a few weeks' time to bring you the start of season three. And I literally can't wait. Hope to see you then. Bye.